you got a problem, don't care what it is. If you need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help. I got two strong arms, I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help.
Welcome to Community In Depth. You're listening to KDWA. Today, I played that music because we're going to be talking about people who give of themselves and they help others and usually are looking for no recognition other than just doing the right thing. Today, our guest is Dave Haveman, and he is the Director of Special Services for District 200. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I like talking about this topic, and you're talking about helpers that are recognized annually for the Super Advocacy Award.
Yeah, the Super Advocate Award. I inherited this award from my predecessor, Laura Bolstead, and she started this with her Special Ed Advisory Committee, and I still have to do Special Ed Advisory Committee work every year with a group of people, mostly comprised of parents, and we like to recognize both students and staff and community members who have gone above and beyond what we consider to be kind of normal helping behavior to assist or show kindness or something like that to kids who have different challenges. Mm-hmm. And we have a great group of winners this year like we do every year. It's one of my favorite things to go around and present that award to the people who won.
Well, before we give those wonderful names, let me ask you a little bit about the history of this award. And I understand there's even a special cape.
There is. That this, again, I'm going to give credit back to Laura because she has more of a flair for the dramatic than I do. And so at some point in time between her and the committee members at that time, they decided to make this into like a superhero theme. And so she had, I think literally herself, made these capes. There were two or three of them that I took over when I became the director, and they're very loud and very sequiny, and they definitely make you stand out if you're wearing one. And so when we present the award to the people that win, and it's usually done by surprise, they also get caped that day. So we will put a cape on them. I will read off the nomination to them from whoever gave them the nomination, and then they get to choose to continue wearing that cape for the rest of that day. Now, every once in a while, somebody says thanks but no thanks after we put the cape on them. Most of the time, they choose to keep it on for the day. And then when people ask them what it's all about, they get a chance to tell them a little bit why.
And most of them do that very readily. But as you said, and as we're going to find out through our six recipients for this year, some of them are very behind the scenes and they don't expect recognition for doing what they consider to be just the right thing. So did you find that generally happens when you are surprising these people and they have no idea?
Yeah, I think as much as this award, at least among the staff members, is known, I don't know that anybody really remembers like that on a day-to-day basis as to why they do what they do. They do what they do because they are just good people doing the right thing, and in many cases doing just above and beyond what would be the right thing for some students around them, which is kind of fun. And especially the community members would have no idea that this award is in existence. So when we walk in to put a cape on a community member like we did with two people this spring, like they didn't even know what we were doing, why we were there, and so we kind of came in out of the blue.
How are these people nominated? Tell us how that position starts before we tell those people.
When the advisory committee or the special advisory committee, we call it the SEEK, gets together a couple times a year, right around the January-February meeting, somewhere in that time frame, we will decide to put out a nomination form across the district. And so we'll send out an invitation to the entire district, so the ISD 200 listserv, and just list again what this award is and why it is that they should consider people that they see work around them and are doing a great job, as well as community members or students that they might see. We also post the link on our website, which, you know, isn't the best place because it causes people to have to go there, and not a lot of people go there looking for that. And we put it on social media around that time of year too. We also ask the case managers of the students that have an IEP, so special education students, to just send that award nomination form home, so that if there are particularly grateful parents of someone who's working with their child, that they have an opportunity to tell us why they appreciate people that are working with their kids.
Okay, that's good to know. So January, and then there's also a second blast in about April. And when are these people actually chosen?
Yeah, so right around April 1st or so, because we meet again usually toward the end of April, we will send out a second wave of, hey, if you haven't nominated somebody but you had somebody in mind, this is your chance to do so. And then we'll get together as a seat committee one more time before May sometime. And at that meeting, we will go through all the nominations and then select the winners in the particular categories. And the categories are staff members. So we'll usually have one teacher and one support staff member in some way, whether that be a paraprofessional or someone who works in the lunchroom or a crossing guard or whatever, someone. And then we will have community members. And then we have students, of course. And each one of those categories presents kind of a special quality when you're considering their positions and how they might impact students who have disabilities or special needs.
Okay. And we're going to remind you of that again at the end of our program, so that you can be thinking about those special people all year round, and then when the time comes to nominate, please take the time to do that. Let's start with the students.
Yeah, so our student winners this year were Amar Thomas and Molly Magnuson. Amar is a student at the high school, and Molly is a student at McCullough Elementary. Amar, and you know what, I think the best way for me to just kind of tell you a little bit about these people is to read for you three or four sentences that were right out of the nomination form for each of these winners. And so one of the parents of a student at the high school nominated Amar, and it said, "I'm nominating Amar Thomas because he has not only improved my son's life, but also the lives of other special ed students in Hastings. When Amar spoke at the Snow Week Pep Fest as a difference maker, he gave a shout out to his friends Sam, Logan, and Zach. The boys really seem to feel valued, which in and of itself is awesome. I believe that this kind of public acknowledgement helps our students feel even more a part of the school, and it also opens doors, makes inclusion cool. His involvement in advocacy occurs daily, not just on special occasions." And that was an excerpt of probably a page-long nomination by this particular parent, who said that Amar even goes out of his way outside of school times to seek out some of these same students and to do things with them socially as well, which is pretty neat.
That's fabulous. And our second student?
Molly Magnuson, student over at McCullough Elementary School, and she was nominated by a classroom volunteer, and it reads, "Molly is always drawn to and helps special needs people. As a school volunteer in Molly's class over the past 4 years, I have witnessed several acts of her gentle kindness in helping special needs students, and she encourages her friends to help them at school. Her goal is that they are happy and school is a special time for them."
And she is how old?
You know, I want to say she's in fourth grade. It was either third or fourth, but I think it was fourth.
It's wonderful to see that empathy and that acknowledgement by such a young individual is readily forthcoming. And, you know, hats off to her. All right, let's move on to staff.
Great. So we had two staff winners this year. One was Michelle Merrick, who is a pupil support assistant, or PSA, or paraprofessional. There's lots of different terms that people use to describe the valuable work that these folks do. And then Kelby Grogan, one of our special ed teachers at Pinecrest. Actually, both of these people work at Pinecrest. And so Michelle was nominated by two different teachers at Pinecrest. Both Sandy Meyer and Lisa Poncelet nominated Michelle. And Michelle's been a PSA in our district for a long time. So I'll read off one of these, and it says, "Michelle Merrick should be recognized as a super advocate because there is no doubt in my mind that any student that crosses paths with Michelle, even just once, will feel and experience nothing but kindness, understanding, patience, and the most heartfelt love you can imagine. Michelle has a unique way of establishing clear and achievable expectations based on the needs of each child, enabling them to be successful almost instantly. More importantly, she manages to do this by meeting the child where they're at."
Very powerful recommendation, and I'm sure that when she received that, you know, I'm sure she saw the nomination form. I'm sure she probably didn't even realize that that's what she does, because that's just who she is.
She didn't. We had to fish her out of the lunchroom to receive the award. And what she didn't realize, and I didn't realize until I showed up that day, is that there was a gym full of kids. So the gymnasium was full of kids and a lot of staff members, and lots of people had made signs because they expected her to show up. And so it was like being at a sporting event with the signs there too. And they just they completely surprised her. Me too, but they surprised her, and it was pretty cool to see.
That is wonderful that they have that kind of reception. All right, and our second staff member is?
Kelby Grogan. She's a special ed teacher at Pinecrest, and we hired Kelby about a year and a half ago, and she's been a wonderful addition to our team across the district, but specifically at Pinecrest. And she was actually nominated by a parent. So one of the students on Kelby's caseload, the parent of that student is particularly grateful, and so she writes, "She is my son's special ed case manager and team leader. She works so hard to find the good in kids. She wants nothing more than for them to be successful throughout the academic journey. Working constantly to find what will work best for them, changing plans that she worked tirelessly on, making sure the whole team is on board and aware. Kelby is patient, kind, and understanding. She is the light to the situation. We would be lost without her each day, and we are so grateful for her." And she was actually nominated by two different people. And so one of the paras at Pinecrest also nominated Kelby for this award because she's worked with a number of different teachers and just recognized that Kelby's gone kind of above and beyond to do some incredible work with our kids over at Pinecrest.
You know, I'm listening to this, and once again, we're talking with Dave Haveman. He is the Director of Special Services for District 200. We're talking about the Super Advocate Awards that were awarded earlier this summer. And you know, I would think that there's probably a lot of people who, like I said, very quietly in the backgrounds or just day to day do the right thing. And I suppose it's very humbling for them to hear that it has been recognized and in such a big way.
Oh, yeah. I know that Kelby, too, when I watched the reception here, I read off, because what I do when I walk into the room and before we put the cape on is I will read off the entire nomination that the person wrote. And the person that nominated is usually there along with the recipient. And there were tears in both of their eyes that day, but from both the parent and Kelby.
Well, it's very important work that they do, or just being a friend or just being a support person. And so there's also members of the community that you recognized, and they either may be, tell us how they're found, first of all. Is that a different kind of recommendation? Because it's not really coming from the school, but it's in a different way.
In both cases, these winners were nominated by people that work in our school district, and so that was neat. But more and more, I think the community is being recognized for the work that they do with our kids, and they might not even know it, or how it impacts our students day to day, and they don't know it. And so sometimes this can be the hardest award for us to get nominations for, because I don't know that people naturally will think, hey, how did the community make an impact? But in this case, these two people did a nice job of recognizing very key elements of how the community played a direct role in this process. So one of the winners this year was Jen Gelhar and the Little Beginnings staff. So Little Beginnings is the newer daycare that was built on the other side of the bridge, on the north side of the bridge, up by where 95 splits off. And Molly Cirillo is one of our school social workers, and she nominated Jen and the Little Beginnings staff. And she wrote, "Jen and her team go beyond simply caring for children while parents work. Each day they give their all to each and every child. They work through all the snow and the cold days in the winter, staying open so parents can avoid taking off. When there are difficulties with students, they collaborate with all parties, always looking out for the best interests of the child. They work long hours, play in the snow, and adjust their schedules to help fit kids' needs." What was not included in this little excerpt is that Molly went out of her way in the longer nomination to say that with all of the particularly, all of the snow days this year, and we had, what, 8, 9 of them? It was super unusual. Jen and her staff went above and beyond to stay open for parents to help them out when they didn't count on having daycare available that day because they thought their kids would be in school.
Because the school may be closed, but work probably isn't.
Correct.
All right. And our final community member?
It would be the Store Beloved in downtown Hastings here next door to the Spiral Brewery. And specifically, Amy Van Zee and Sheila King were nominated by Eva Johnson. Eva is one of our teachers in the STARS program. And for those that don't know it, our STARS program is a program that is for students who have earned their diploma, but still have some work in the special ed on some special ed goals and objectives to make them ready for, you know, post-secondary life. So ready for a job, ready for school, whatever. And so the STARS program works with our students to help them be job ready after high school. So, and Amy and Sheila have gone out of their way to help some of our students in providing a work experience for them. So Eva writes, "I would like like to nominate Amy Van Zee and Sheila King as super advocates. At the beginning of the 2018-19 school year, we asked Amy to consider allowing students to practice employment skills at her business. While volunteering at Amy's Boutique Beloved, students have practiced workplace skills such as speed, accuracy, attention to detail, direction following, and asking for supervisor for clarification, just to name a few. Beloved store associate Sheila King is typically working when our students are scheduled to volunteer. She has been an invaluable participant with helping students develop skills related to employee relationships. Sheila understands the little things that the students are learning, such as appropriate workplace greetings and interactions. Amy and Sheila are super advocates. And I think what people don't realize is how much we count on the community, especially for that kind of programming and for kids that are still in high school that need some experiences there, to give them some real life experiences there. And we're not even asking for paid in a lot of cases. We're just saying, hey, will you open up your business and let our kids come in there to practice some skills, whether it be social skills or cash register skills or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. They just need some training grounds.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that the community probably, as you said, is probably, once again, behind the scenes, below the surface, but so incredibly valuable to some of those students. And I actually know some of those students that were involved in that.
Yeah.
And I think their sense of pride at working in the community, at their being able to contribute in a way that maybe they hadn't even thought that they could. But I also like the sense of optimism that they have and just being a team player. And all of this is really teamwork involved.
It is. It is.
There's so many different
pieces. Yeah, from our teacher to the people working in the businesses interacting on a regular basis so that they know what the goal is. So if we have a student or two in there, not each student is there to work on the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's important for the employer to know what it is that they're expected to do or expected to work on so that we stay in touch with them on, mm-hmm. on a regular basis and keep our focus.
Well, the special education department is really close to my heart as well. Do you think maybe they're kind of hesitant to ask, what can we do? And is there a resource that you can say, other than to spend some time with these students and just find out how incredibly engaging and wonderful that they can be? And if you just have some opportunity, but sometimes providing that is, you know, you have to work each person in a different way.
You do. I would say if you're curious and you're a community member or a community business and you would like some more information about that, to contact our department. And if we need to schedule some time to meet with you, whether that be me or my assistant director, Sarah Kleckel, or our teachers and stars or the high school, and we just want to interact with you in some way to find out how you can maybe help us out, we'd love to talk to you.
That would be great. Once again, the nomination forms happen in the very early part of the year, in the winter time, first of all, but then again in April. So tell us again the nomination process. Where do you find that form or how do you get involved?
If you're not sure, you can call our office at 651-480-7016. And Chris is my assistant. She can give you a copy of that form at the email that you provide. Otherwise, right around the end of January, somewhere between the end of January and the end of February, that form will be posted on the Special Services website. So you just have to go under the main Hastings website and look for our department, Special Services, and you'll find it right on the front page.
The super advocates, congratulations to all of them. And whether or not you have the opportunity to nominate someone, perhaps you've even done something that you could be a nominee.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I think that's a great idea too.
All right, good. All right, keeping in touch with you. Thanks so much, Dave Haveman, from the Director of Special Services for the district. And we're recognizing those super advocates. And you've been listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA.
If you got a problem, don't care what it is. If you need a hand, I can assure you.